So good afternoon once again. This is Vedji here. I'll just give you a quick update about financial year 19. The revenues for financial 19 grew by 12%, and Q4 was kind of flat. Volume for 19 grew by 5.6%, and the Q4 grew by 1.1%. The financial year was pretty below our expectations. The reasons, economy at the micro level, has not been at its best through last 18 months now. Post the GST, the inventory holding by most of the retailers has generally reduced because of stricter compliance requirements. Liquidity issues persist in retail. Investors who have been following us or our business would know that Q4 has been typically a weaker quarter for us, and this year in particular was on a very, very high base of last year. I would like to refrain from commenting on a quarter-to-quarter outlook, but our long-term outlook and optimism for future remains as confident and bullish as ever. So outlook going forward for the financial 20 and beyond, while I just said that 19 was below our expectations, this only makes our resolve stronger when we look at financial 20 and beyond. Based on our estimates, in the relevant potential target market of 130 million consumers, we have a market penetration of 19 to 20% in the premium men's innerwear and around 5 to 6% in the women's innerwear. Similarly, on the athleisure or the outerwear business, our penetration is between 6 to 8%. The good news is the premium market is growing in double digits percentage. With the kind of headroom available, we can only grow across all these segments. On marketing side, our plans have got only bigger and better. We have huge plans across various media, be it TV, digital, out-of-home, print, and BTL, which we feel is the most important investment at the point of sale. Coming to capacity planning, to support the aggressive growth plans going forward, we are working towards doubling our installed capacity from current 260 million pieces in next 4 to 5 years. We have two greenfield projects coming up, one at Anandapur in Andhra Pradesh and the other one near Mysore in Karnataka. While the Karnataka project will commence production by Q3 of 20, Anandapur will commence by Q4 of financial year 21. On the new products and the focus for the categories, we would continue our focus approach on our core businesses, verticals of men's innerwear, women's innerwear, and athleisure businesses, including socks and towels. The kidswear business is going to be a special focus area for us. This business is poised for an exponential growth. Accordingly, we have realigned our sales and marketing strategy for the Jockey Junior business. We have gone ahead and invested in an independent sales team across the country, almost 100 people strong, to create a focus on this business. So we also have a special marketing plan to support this business. I don't know whether some of you have already seen the ads which are on the outdoor and the print as of yesterday. So out and out, our outlook for future remains bullish. So I'll now hand it over to our CFO, Mr. Chandrasekhar, to give you a little bit more in-depth on the financials.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As far as the full year, CEO has already explained that we have grown by about 11%, 2,850 crores of revenue. So we also have reached a PAT of 394 crores for the year. As far as if you have been observing Page over the years, we operate on a very predictable, strong financial model, which is 22% EBITDA and 13% PAT. This year, the growth has been a bit low on the lower side as far as the revenues are concerned. But the financials continue to deliver consistent results. There are some exceptions. You may have questions on the Q4 comparison. We generally tend to compare, do not compare quarter to quarter like that. Last year we had some scheme incentive reversals and also some GST trans credit. So we did explain to the analyst and investor community last year also that the 25% EBITDA and 16% PAT of last year quarter is not sustainable because of the exceptional items. Similarly, because of various annual schemes which got finalized in Q4 this year, we have an extra hit. So therefore, it looks like minus 20%, but on an apples-to-apples basis, it should have been like 10%. On a full-year basis, we have delivered 22.9% EBITDA and 13.8% PAT. The impact of Ind AS 115 on the revenues was also discussed last time. It has an impact of only 0.7% of revenues. Now, that is as far as the financial update is concerned. So if you have any questions, you can either type it in here, because there are more than 100 people on the call. So therefore, if you're able to type in your message, we will be able to answer one by one.
We closed the year at 620 stores this year. Are the online...
The question is, what are your sales mix offline and online?
The sales mix is, we are offline. Online sales is close around 4% now.
We have sold close to 19 crore pieces this year. Sorry, 17.4 crore pieces this year. The question is product mix between innerwear, athleisure, and outerwear. There is a question on the product mix. As far as this year, the men is about 50%. The athleisure and sports is about 15%. Women is about 16%. And the rest is all bra, socks, and the jockey juniors. The next question is, any push to online or focusing on offline only?
Our push will be firing on all cylinders. While online is obviously becoming increasing its percentage business year on year, we'll be pushing both sides of the business going forward.
The next question, is there the competitive intensity in menswear How is it?
See, the Indian innerwear market is characterized by many regional and local brands. There has always been players existing and new in the market, and many entrants have come and gone and entered this business. This certainly provides consumer a wider choice. We continue to be the leading brand by far in our category. We are the single largest selling clothing brand in India as of today.
Why? The next question is, why is there a sharp divergence between volume and value growth during the quarter? So as I had explained that we report the net sales, which is net of the sales incentive scheme. So because of that impact, there is a different value growth.
Question.
The question is, would the current gross margin trajectory be sustained? The answer is yes. The next question is, are you confident of moving back to 20% growth level seen earlier?
Payne as a company has always believed that, going at those levels is not something which is very difficult. It's just that the headwinds have been pretty strong in the past year. And as all of us know, there is a general slowdown, both at the secondary and the tertiary level. So we understand that. We have got our learnings from this year, and we will do a lot of changes.
20 stores,
which should help us to achieve those numbers. Our aim is always 20% plus kind of a growth. We don't aim less than that.
We have spent around 70 million as capex spent in the last financial year. We continue to be capital light. There are upcoming manufacturing facilities at Anandpur in Andhra Pradesh and other places in Karnataka. We will continue to invest in manufacturing and other areas in line with our business strategy.
Is aggressive EBO expansion leading to cannibalization of other channel sales?
Yeah, let me repeat the other question is the one-off in the current quarter and the previous quarter. Let me repeat that. Somebody has asked for that. The one-offs are these sales schemes, the incentives, and the credit for the GST. These are the items which benefited the previous year quarter. This year we had the same sales incentives which actually went up compared to our estimates for the full year. So it has had a double impact on the growth rate. Otherwise, as I said, the EBITDA percentage of 23 and PAT of 14% have been maintained for the quarter also.
So, somebody has asked about the market share details. So based on our estimates, in the relevant potential target market of 130 million consumers, our understanding from the number of pieces we sold in the last financial year, we have a market penetration of around 19 to 20% in the men's premium innerwear, about 5 to 6% in the women's innerwear, and around 6 to 8% in the athleisure or outerwear business.
How do you see the industry shift from organized, unorganized to organized? How is the branded segment percentage increasing in the industry as a whole?
If you look at this industry as a whole, it's mostly been branded because, there's been some name or the other which has been given to the government. So it was never that this business was an unbranded kind of a business. Since we have been in business in this country, there have been brands around. So there's not a huge shift, which I can say is from the unorganized. But yes, there is a huge shift for people who are looking forward and growing up the ladder. So which is a sort of a good news for Jockey as a brand. The next question is growth across the segments. I think that was Mr. Chandrasekhar had just already said that.
any qualitative information on how has been the volume performance of menswear for FY19?
So the menswear, is obviously our largest piece of the pie, and so we also had many other new ranges which got launched, and so it is definitely one of the areas where we will have to push the market this year, and we understand that men's the growth of men's business is going to be very important for us. To have the overall number which all of us are expecting from Jockey, so it's a business which is very close to our hearts, and we understand the men's business has to keep pace, if we have to continue growing 20%.
So what is the overall addressable market size in men's, women's, and kids category, and how do we see growth going forward given competition increasing in the premium category? We do not have any structured or formal information about the market size. So we do an estimation. So based on our estimate in the relevant initial target market of around 130 million consumers, we have a market penetration of 19 to 20% premium men's innerwear and about 5 to 6% women's and 6 to 8% in athleisure. Next question is, what is the 3 years vision for market share across segments? So as we have said earlier, we do not comment on the future. We continue to target an internal volume growth plan of 10%. Next question, for FY19, our growth of 13% at the company level. Can you share product-wise revenue growth, men's, leisure, or women's, or others? So as you're aware, given the competitive factors and the fact that in industry nobody else shares the segment-wise growth parameters, we have also not been sharing any segment-wise growth results. Next question, has the shelf space reduced for us in MBOs for us in last 1 year due to higher competitive intensity?
With the increased push from our side, it's actually gone up. We have pushed the most productive stores. I would not be able to tell you the number, but the number of stores which give us our 60% of our business, our market, our shelf space has gone up in those stores.
So next question, please explain the one-offs in this as well as the previous quarter. Steve would like to understand, so we already answered that question. Why are the inventory days moved up? So typically, as in our internal policy, we maintain a stock of around 120 to 130 days in every quarter end. This quarter, yes, the inventory holding days has gone up from 130 days to around 156 days, but that's more in the preparation of the next quarter. So there has been an increase in FG inventory holding in preparation of the current quarter sales. Next question was, what was volume number of pieces in men's innerwear during FY19? So we do not give a category-wise volume information. Next question is, both across segments in FY19, we have already addressed that. Employee cost as a percentage of revenue has increased to 20% in quarter 2 as compared to 16% in FY18. Can you please share the reason for increased employee cost? So basically, there has been increase in the number of employees. Also, as a quarter-end process, there is the actual valuation of gratuity and earned leave. So based on that, the expenses have gone up in the Q4. But overall, as a yearly basis, the change in employee cost is not significant.
On a full-year basis, the employee cost remains at around 16%.
The next question is, EBO opened in FY19. What is the aggressive EBO expansion leading to cannibalization of sales?
That's a question which is strange to ask, because if you are adding EBOs, it can only help to grow sales. we cannot cannibalize sales. And our experience has been because the EBOs help us to showcase the entire range, it actually forces the retailers around these EBOs to keep more products and more ranges, as you know, they tend to lose the sale otherwise. So it has actually been the other way around. It has helped us to improve the sales both at the EBO and at the MBOs.
On the next question on CapEx, we have already addressed that. So we had spent around 47 crores in the previous year. And based on the business requirements, the next year's CapEx may be around that. Men's innerwear commentary and competition, half of your business, how will it grow going forward? As we said earlier, we do not give a category-wise future lookout in our business. Revenue contribution of own stores to total stores. So as per our estimate, the EBOs contribute to around 16% of our total turnover. When we say own stores, we don't own these stores. It is managed by distributors. By which quarter can we expect growth coming back to 15-20%? So we cannot, we do not have such precise estimates as to which quarter where the growth will come back. But yes, as I have stated earlier, as our internal plans, we aim to achieve the volume growth of 10% plus.
So as you have noticed that you know, the market in terms of consumption story, there has been a slowdown, and there are some liquidity issues in the retail. So as soon as that corrects, we should be back to the growth trajectory.
So
the questions of one-off issues getting over. As we have said, this one-off issue, so this was unique to the current quarter.
We have been pretty strong as far as the financial results in FY19 also. Maybe some of the growth would return as we go forward.
I think there are some repeat questions regarding the volume growth, so we should only address that. What has been the impact of higher incentive offered by ABFRL? How are your incentives likely to behave going forward?
No, every company has its own policies. So we have incentive policies which has worked for us for over two decades. We continue with, you know, what our plans are. Other companies have the right to do what they want to do.
I think some questions are repeating. Maybe some of the new joinees are raising the same question, so we are skipping that.
On the question, in your view, how much has the destocking in FY19 and how do you estimate how much consumer offtake would have grown? Is that process still continuing in the March quarter, and how, are you confident that there is no further destocking?
So the destocking, you know, at the retail level, I won't have a percentage to it. It is varied from zone to zone, from area to area. But if I could just it's more of a guesstimate rather than an estimated call. It has been in the range of 20-40% from area to area and from region to region.
On the question that has there been any sense of pickup in demand for first quarter, does the underlying demand remain weak? So economy continues to be sluggish. We have not yet seen any immediate uplift in the last 2 months. We expect things to improve going forward.
Yeah, there is a good question. Are you betting on the macro only to be able to go back to 20%? So there is a lot of initiatives which are put into the business.
So as I said in my initial briefing, while macro for sure is going to help, but that's not, we're not going to sit back and wait for the macros to change. There are a lot of plans for each of the ranges which we have put into place. And most importantly, as I said, the Jockey Junior business is something which we are going all out and pushing that side of the business, because that just comes and sits on top of whatever we are doing currently.
On the question, on the request to share transcript of the call, we'll internally deliberate and we'll come back on that. On the discussion about pricing environment, will you be able to see realization gains in FY20? As we have told in earlier forums as well, our price increase is more driven by our input cost behavior. So if we find inflationary trends, we accordingly touch our prices by being conscious about the competitive factors. And yes, if we have got cost benefits, the same is passed on. So we maintain the EBITDA of 21 to 22% and accordingly touch the prices. So can we?
Which one is this? So on the question of the key learnings from the previous year, we all understand, and you guys being in the business would also know about many other companies which are around. There is a general slowdown. As I said, in terms of the stocking up, has sort of, the retailers have sort of held on to their inventories. Two is the walk-ins into these stores. Also has been not on a very, very friendly side for the last entire year. So going forward, while we understand that, so the learning has been that while we can do what we can do with our existing stores, we will need to spread more over and beyond what we are doing currently in terms of the retail footprint. So while we have close around 55,000 stores where we cater directly and around 650-odd EBOs, we understand that we'll have to more aggressively keep on pushing ourselves on the retail footprint. That will be one of the key initiatives, along with the Jockey Junior business, which I just discussed 5 minutes back. Those will be the two major pushes for us through the year.
Pricing action in FY19, we have increased across categories 4 to 5% in Q3.
So, how is stressed liquidity impacting our innovative demand? So as far as the general situation since last two quarters, there is a liquidity crunch in the market, and yes, it has impacted our retailers' offtake. So we hope situations will be improving in the next quarters. So the next question, will you prefer top-line growth and margin given a chance? I think as a policy, we focus on both, and we'll continue to do so. How has the approach to Jockey Junior changed from previous experiences?
So Jockey Junior is a business which we actually started, though we had a very small marginal range within our large portfolio for all these years. We went a little bit more aggressive only from last two years when we launched the boys range, and last year we launched the girls. And this year we also launched the athleisure, which is the outerwear for both boys and girls. As I also said initially, we're setting up a complete separate distribution for this business, because we understand that it's a huge business for us. So our estimates on the kids business is that there are close to 15.5 million children who are in the SEC A and B families who can be the target, our potential target market going forward. And the number of pieces we sold last year for the entire business actually gives us just 1.9% market share in this segment. So we are very, very bullish on this business.
So coming to how is growth in Speedo, I think the Speedo growth has been negligible. But yes, it's the market for Speedo is still at a nascent stage, and we are kind of shaping up this segment. So we have several measures in place to improve this category and the business. So in the coming years, we hope the Speedo as a business will be doing much better. So are there any other questions? On the sustainable margins, as we have maintained and we have been doing so since several years, we target to achieve an EBITDA margin of around 21 to 22%, and we aim to maintain the same.
So there's a question about, do you believe Van Heusen and US Polo has eaten your market share in the last 1 year? Do you believe, okay, this is just a repeated of the same. So I'm not sure where this question is coming from. Just to give an idea, this is not the first time that there has been, competition in this market. There are, without taking names, there are brands which this is the third attempt at this business. And the kind of market, as I said earlier, with a market share of around 19 to 20% in the men's innerwear, and then overall, if I take the weighted average of all the categories we have, we are around 8 to 9% market share. With that kind of a market share, there's hardly anybody who needs to eat into your market share. You can only eat into the overall market share. So the market is huge, and there is nobody eating into each other's market share. And just to give an understanding, the entire turnover of the closest competitor is our monthly business. So eating into our market share is a little far-fetched.
Share the difference in growth rates for different brands, different channels, as EBOs and MBOs.
The best part of this business is that whether we are through EBOs or MBOs, the growth rates are more or less the same. Yes, if I look at EBOs in totality because of the new stores open, then yes, it is much more than the MBO sales. But if I look at like EBOs and MBOs, they are more or less the same.
On the question regarding are you facing any attrition issues, yes, we have attrition at our wage earners level, and some attrition at the staff level also, which is in line with our industry behavior. As such, we do not face any issues of quality resources.
There is a question on how the 10% volume growth will lead to a target at 20%. I think this has been demonstrated in the past also. There is a price increase which is largely cost inflation driven. And there is a premiumization and mix change in favor of some of the athleisure and higher priced categories. So if there is a 10% volume growth, most likely you will find a 20% top line growth as well.
So are there any other questions? Okay. Does the SC verdict on recalculation of salary, 1 minute, employee benefits impact page in FY20 and by what amount? So yes, we are aware of the SC verdict on recalculation of salary base, and accordingly we have reconfigured our salary and wages structure for FY19-20. We will be able to share amount regarding that. The impact will be negligible. So regarding the question on how much minimum price and volume growth we need to sustain the EBITDA margin, yes, we have been touching the prices in the range of 3 to 5% every year. And together with targeted volume growth of around 10% plus, we should be able to sustain the EBITDA margin.
Thank you.
basis.
There's a question on the volume growth for the year, which is 6%. The top line growth is above 11%.
So on the question regarding inflationary trends on key raw materials, we do forecast the movement in raw materials periodically. As of now, the growth is not significant. New launches planned for athleisure.
Yes, there are a lot of new launches planned for the athleisure business. And we generally divide our season into two seasons in a year, which is S1 and S2. And while the S1 is already out and in the market now, and there'll be more ranges. I will not be able to quantify the number. But yes, there are continuously new launches will happen in the athleisure space.
Number of pieces.
The question is about 10% market share. So, and total market of 13 crore, which means 1.3 crore people are buying our products. So, approximately each person buys 17.4, around 13 pieces. No, this calculation is not right. Where I said 10%, I said the weighted average of 10%. The men's innerwear market, as I said, is the premium men's. We have around 19 to 20% market share, and there the volume is much higher. So our understanding is it's around 2 crore people who are buying our products. And when it comes to innerwear, we assume around 6 pieces per person, which is being bought, which is 3 tops and 3 bottoms. And similarly for women's, we have around 7. And for the athleisure business, we assume around 4 pieces. We also have socks and towels. So when we take a weighted average, then it comes to 10. But otherwise, if we take each business-wise, it's varying between 28% for athleisure and around 5 to 6% for women. There's a question on the kids innerwear business. As I just explained earlier, it's a huge market because, you know, our understanding is that there are close to 15.5 million boys and girls in the SEC A and B markets which we are targeting. I won't be able to give you the market share and other details because, you know, those are a little private at this point of time. But yes, we are going very aggressive after this business.
There is a question on the price hike in first quarter. We only make a price increase once in a year, and it happens either in Q3 or Q4.
The question is, has there been some growth issues in the departmental stores for Jockey, and has it dragged on the overall growth? No, there have been no growth issues, and as a percentage of business, it is pretty small to have a drag on the overall growth.
On the last question, what is our inventory clearance strategy in innerwear and athleisure? So we have a dedicated channel dedicated partner for clearing old or non-moving or slow-moving stocks. And based on periodic assessment of our inventory quality, we do liquidate these stocks in selected areas through this partner. So thank you for participating in this earnings call. If you have any further questions, yes, you can reach out to me or to CFO also later. Thank you.
Thank you very much.